Corinthians chapter 13. That mic sounds weird. What's going on with that microphone? Well, this microphone sounds tinny. I don't want to sound like a girl up here, so we turn it off, amen, if it's going to sound that. Unfailing power of God. What am I preaching on? Unfailing power of love, amen. Man, you got me all flustered up here. I'm not going to be able to preach now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, may I say that's the word of God? Amen. And it says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to have the Word of God in front of us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to gather around the Lord's table tonight and remember the suffering and the sacrifice of Christ for us on Calvary. We're thankful, Lord, that we can know the God of heaven and we can experience the love of God that literally changes us and makes us new. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our heart tonight as we continue pondering, Lord, all that you have done for us. And, Lord, rejoicing in our hearts of the goodness of our God to save us. And, Lord, that we might be able to enter in with a level of comprehension about this charity, this love that you have for us, Lord. That'll not just impact us, but we'll experience it in a way that it'll impact other people also. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, verse 13 is our text verse. It says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, unfailing power of love. Many people talk about love. However, they really don't know what love means. They don't know the meaning of love. People often look at the love from the perspective of, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this thing? When in reality, God demonstrated his love for us and that he gave his only begotten son that we might be able to be saved. We observe communion tonight, which represents really the greatest act of love that anyone could demonstrate and show forth. We know that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, it was in fulfillment of God's demonstration of his love towards you and me. Love is the greatest of all the gifts. Love is the greatest thing that we can experience because love never fails. Real charity of love of God never fails. God's love includes goodness and mercy. It includes sympathy and understanding. And the mercy of the love of God towards us never fails. Human love involves affection and strong personal attachment. But God's love is an unconditional love that he shows towards us. And so it's a love that never fails. God's love combined with our love develops a meaning and purpose in our lives. You cannot find meaning and purpose in your life apart from the love of God that's been shed abroad on our hearts. And so we must understand this unfailing power of love. First of all, I want you to see tonight that this love begins with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was confronted by a young man, and he wanted to know what was the greatest commandments in the Word of God. And in Matthew 22, in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And so love, an unfailing love, powerful love that changes people's lives begins with the Lord. And notice, first of all, we think of this experiencing God's love. 1 John 1, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins." And so when Jesus says here, you need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind, there is a reason for that. There is not anything that Jesus stated that did not have a reason behind that. And the reason behind we ought to love God with that depth of commitment and love is because of the fact that God loved us when we were yet sinners. When we rebelled against him, literally the Bible says we were the enemies of God, that Jesus Christ came into this world, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God is powerful because of the fact that Jesus Christ became the propitiation for our sins. The word of propitiation means appeasement. So literally, God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us because of the fact he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. And because of that, we can experience the love of God because it was God initiating it. It was God reaching out to us. Man runs away from God. Man hides from God. Man rebels against God. But God is always reaching out to us to that we might be able to experience his love. It's amazing to me how people can run away from the Lord. We sang that song this morning, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And you think about it, there's no one that would sacrifice what Christ sacrificed for you. You would know there was no one would pay the price that Christ had to pay that you might be able to be saved and go into heaven. A song we're practicing in the choir. It's called "Jesus Saves." Every time I sing that song, I get excited about that. We're practicing it. I make up my own words. I just have my own time over there in the corner, and I enjoy myself. Amen. Because God sent his son into this world to save us. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're experiencing the love of God that is unfailing. It's always powerful, and it's always able to work the will of God in our hearts. So the experiencing of God's love. The demonstration of God's love is 1 John 5:3. Jesus once again speaks through John in reference to the fact that if we love the Lord, then we're going to keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. In other words, it's not a difficult thing to obey the Lord, to live for God, because of the fact that he has loved us so deeply and so sacrificially that, wait a minute, why wouldn't I listen to what he has to say, and why wouldn't I respond to him when he commands me, "Thou shalt do this," but he commands me, "Thou shalt not do that." You know, really, it comes down to the depth of love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Why? Because if you do not have that depth of that love, there is no way that you're going to keep his commandments, and there's no way that you're going to enjoy the enduring, abiding love of Christ in your life each and every day. So love begins with the Lord, and if it begins with God, then we're obligated to respond to that. Notice, first of all, what does that mean? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That means we're to give the Lord our first love. And you know, the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 1 had a condemnation of God against them, and it was because of their leaving their love, their first love. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And I think when people get away from God, that'd be a good verse to share with them. You know, it follows up and says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." You know, we often speak about churches closing across America. I think it's around 10,000 churches a year close their doors in America. And I just wonder, wait a minute, is the reason because of the fact that we've left our first love? Is it because of the fact that we have ignored the responsibility to respond to God's love towards us? Because he says, if you don't repent, I'll remove thy candlestick. The candlestick is the church. And I'm afraid that many churches are closing their doors because we have turned our back on our God and abandoned his unfailing love to work in our life over and over again. The answer is simply to repent. Well, what does that involve? We give the Lord our first love. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So with all thy heart. And what does that mean? All thy heart. The heart is what we know of it. Is the seat of understanding. In other words, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when it speaks about the heart, it's dealing with the part of you that can understand who God is, the part of you that can respond to the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart. So you're to love the Lord with all of your understanding. Whatever you can grasp about who God is, whatever you find in the written word of God about what Christ is and what he can do in your life, you love him based on everything that you can comprehend in reference to who he is. So the heart is the seat of understanding. It is also the surrender of our will. When you talk about the heart, it is always speaking in reference to the fact that you are surrendering your will to God and God alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul tells us about this matter of the will of God. You know, if God's not willing that any should perish, does it make sense that we ought to surrender our will to be saved? If God's not willing that any should perish, does it make sense that we ought to surrender our will that others might be saved? Why? Because of the love of God that is in us, that he has impressed upon us and given to us, reveals to us a reality that people need to enter into this love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, here it is, through the will of God. And so God has called us to be saved. He has called us to serve him according to his will. And so when I love the Lord with all of my heart, it's not just surrendering or grasping an understanding of who he is. It is also surrendering who I am and what I'm going to do. My will is given over to God. And oftentimes we just think, well, it's just whatever I feel like doing, I can live my life as I please. But wait a minute, love that is unfailing is a love that is surrendered to the perfect will of God. In Colossians 1:9, when you think about the heart, we speak about the center of our being. In other words, exactly who you are. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and here it is, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, if love never fails, then wait a minute, if I should love the Lord with all my heart, then God's going to be involved in my life, and God's going to be directing my life, and I'm going to be surrendering myself to Him, and everything that I am is who He is. So surrender out. Listen, loving the Lord with all thy heart is not, listen, loving the Lord with all thy heart is not saying, well, I go to church on Sunday, but that's all I do. I'll be holy and be righteous on Sunday, but the rest of the week I got my own life to live. I was listening to a preacher today on the way home, and he was dealing with some of those things, that the Christian life is not just going to church on Sunday. The Christian life is a changed life. A Christian is someone who has experienced the love of God that has impacted them and changed them and brought them to a place of deliverance. And because of that, they're never the same. They love the Lord with all thy heart. I remember years ago, my wife and I started dating. And we fell in love with each other. And we got married. I'll tell you what, the center of all I am is to her. I wouldn't think of looking at another woman or even entertaining the thought of looking at another woman or going after another woman. She'd kill me, amen? Why would I live? We've been married 40 years. Why would I be that committed to her for 40 years? I'll tell you why. Because I love her with all my heart. And there is no room for anybody else. Well, God demands and requires and desires that of us, that we love Him with all of our heart. Everything that we are, everything that we can be, everything that we desire to accomplish is surrendered completely to Him, because He first loved us and delivered us from our sins. And because He loves us that deeply, then it's a natural response to say, I love you back, and surrender my life completely to Him. I love you with all my heart. Notice, not only is it all thy heart, but we're to give the Lord our first love, which is all thy soul. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What is a soul? What we understand about the soul is that that's the living powers. It's your character. And of who it really is, who you are. You know, God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. The Bible says in Genesis that he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And so all that Adam is and all that he possesses in and of himself to be able to live and have power to live, his character traits that he has, is based upon the fact that God breathed into him and he became a living soul. Now listen. Your soul, your being, who you are, what makes you different from everybody else, it literally is to be completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is known as the seat of affections and desires. Your soul is the seat of affections and desires for the Lord. In John chapter 3, in verse 19, Jesus is speaking in reference to men needing to be born again, and what takes place when we're born again, and what is the condemnation that's in the world. And in John chapter 3, in verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The reason why they reject Christ and will not surrender to Christ, because their soul is corrupt. The being, the center of who they are, the affections and desires that they have in and of themselves are affected by this fall of man and the sinfulness of man, and so they have no love for God. That's the condemnation against them. They must receive the love of Christ so that their life will be changed and they might be born again and they might be delivered. And so love has to start with the Lord. It doesn't start with us, because man's natural response because of sin is always to have the wrong affections and the wrong desires, but it's the love of Christ that changes us. So he said, you're to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and then he said, with all thy mind. Now the word mind here deals with, of course, your intellectual powers. your intellectual ability to understand things. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard the saying, he was went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Intellectually, he was trying to figure out how he's going to live his life with giving all of his possessions away. Intellectually, he would not come to Christ and believe on Christ because of the fact he's always guided intellectually his life on his own. And Jesus is telling him, these are the things that you've depended on. These are the things that you trust in. You can't trust those things. You have to trust me. And he went away sorrowful because he had great amount of possessions. The problem is he couldn't get to the point of his love from his heart and a love from his soul, because intellectually he was trying to figure out how in the world is that going to take place. You know, we often preach on missions and on faith promise missions, and I always challenge folks to give by faith to missions. That's how we support our missionaries. And I've had people over the years say, that does not make any sense. To give what you don't have, the promise you're going to give what you have no idea how it's going to come in, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You're right, intellectually it doesn't. But I know this, that when you surrender our intellect, when we're thankful to the Lord for his love that's been shed abroad in our hearts, when we're responding to the love that God has given to us, then we can, listen, we can walk by faith. We can believe God for great things. First of all, starting out with being saved, and then secondly, living your life for the Lord, and then let God enter into your finances. And so love always begins with the Lord. Love never faileth because it always begins with God. And a love that is birthed out of a relationship with the Lord, it always works the will of God in our life. So love begins with the Lord. Secondly, Jesus responds and says that love extends to others. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So the love that impacted us and changed us is a love that will move through us and flow through us to where we'll be concerned for others. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus taught about the man who came along and was wounded on the side of the road, and he wanted to know who was the neighbor to this man, and he confronts the Pharisees about this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. It says, "And Jesus said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." What a sad state of affairs. Here's a priest of Israel coming down the road, and a man that is beaten and torn and battered in need of help, and the priest walks on the other side of the road. "Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," and the Samaritans were people who were looked down upon. Nobody wanted anything to do with a Samaritan. "A Samaritan came, and as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." When love never fails because of the fact that love not only begins with the Lord, but love always extends to others. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. John says that in 1 John. How can you say you love God whom you haven't seen when you hate your brother whom you have seen? Now, we can't really say that we are living out the love of Christ that is in us if we're not willing to extend a helping hand to somebody that is in need. And so love starts with the Lord, but when it starts from God, it goes to us and flows through us and extends to others, not just being concerned about others, but reaching out to others that we might truly be a help. And that type of love does not fail. That type of love is powerful. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't vault itself. It doesn't get puffed up in pride. It's always looking at the circumstances and situations of how it can reach out and help someone else. And so love that is unfailing, the unfailing power of God's love, extends to others. Well, it also enables victory, the love of Christ that is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 57. I love this verse. But Paul says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can literally have great victory because of the fact of Christ sacrificing himself on Calvary for you and me. Paul speaks about death. Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no reason for a Christian to be defeated. I really believe that with all my heart. I mean, there's down times. I know there's discouraging times. I know there's trials that you have to go through. But wait a minute. It is always available. God's love's always available to strengthen us and bless us, and we can have victory through our walk with Christ and our relationship with Him. Notice in spiritual battles, Paul would say in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You say, how can you have victory? It's the fact that God loves us and His love never stops. People think, well, wait a minute, you know, I just did something that really isn't going to be pleasing to the Lord. God doesn't love me anymore. Yes, He does. He has an unfailing love. He has an enduring love. And when the battles come and the victories have to be won, He is there to give you victory because He loves you and He did not save you to see you destroyed. And I believe that God wants to use us in a great way to impact this world that we're living in. There are spiritual battles. The devil is launching rockets at us rather than darts. Amen. I mean, he's throwing them at us. But wait a minute. There is one who is a victor. There is one who is on the throne of heaven. There is the one who sacrificed himself for us. And his name is Jesus. And he did it because he loves us. And I can win the spiritual battles I need to fight. And I'm going to tell you, there's been many a spiritual battle that has not been won and victorious through the strength of man. It has only been won and victorious through prayer and trusting the one who loves me like nobody else loves me. So God's love, when you talk about love, it begins with the Lord. It extends to others, but it enables victory in spiritual battles. In physical life, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. And we take and we look at trials and difficulties in life and we think, well, wait a minute, those things are too strong for me. The enemy is too aggressive for me in this life. Well, wait a minute, Christ is still in you. The Spirit of God is still in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. If God be for us, who can stand against us? I think we need some Christians to start declaring some of the truths that are in the Word of God. Now, who can stand against us? Who can stop us if God is on our side and God is fighting the battles for us? He is the captain of the host of the Old Testament. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We all have strongholds in our physical life that we have to overcome. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is the one who will give us victory over those strongholds. We do not have to be defeated. We do not have to succumb to the temptations that are in this world. We do not have to be destroyed by the lusts of the flesh. I'm here to tell you tonight, because God's love is unfailing, it's an unfailing power, there's no reason for me to fail. All I got to say, you're going to come against me, you better be ready to fight Jesus. Amen. I'm going to hide behind the shield and let him take care of it. Amen. Well, in life and death, we are victors. Yes, if we experience the tarrying of the Lord Jesus Christ to come, we may have to face death, but we're still victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." I'm saying, amen, Paul, do it now. Let's get this thing done. Says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I'm telling you, in life and death, we are victors. We have eternal life that is never removed from us. Whether we're caught up in heaven or whether we have to go through the grave, we're still going into heaven, and we're going to be raised incorruptible. And why? Because for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And that's what I'm looking for, putting on immortality. Sometimes we live this defeated life. As a Christian, we say, "Well, wait a minute. I know that God loves me, but my life is just over. You don't understand. My life is coming to an end." The Christian's life never ends. So he enables victory in life and in death. So the unfailing power of love is that it never fails. It begins with the Lord, extends to others, enables victory. But it ends with everlasting life. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have temporary life." No. I don't know what corrupt version that is. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Well, I think you can lose your salvation. I don't know what salvation you have. You don't have the kind I got. Amen. Amen. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts that gives us eternal life. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You say, "How do you know that?" Because of faith in Christ. He's the one that stated that. He's the one that loves us, and by faith I know that the love of God that is unfailing and powerful to do as it desires to accomplish is by faith what Jesus Christ proclaimed that we might be able to enjoy. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me." And we have to enter into the realm of the reality of the love of God that is unfailing, because it is so powerful that because we die in Christ, we also live in Christ. You say, "How do you do that?" By faith, and by faith alone, but also by his word. In Romans 10:17, says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the assurance that I have that I'm saved and that God loves me is because my Bible told me so." Amen. We have our children, we have them sing little songs about the Bible and everything else. It might be nice if adults sang that song once in a while. Amen. "Yes, Jesus loves me. Amen. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." Amen. We need to sing that once in a while to remind ourselves the reason why we know the love of God is extending to all eternity. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 John 1:1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." I'll tell you one thing right now. This book is so precious. You pick it up, it has the words of life. Sing them over and over again to me. The wonderful words of life. That's where we get our hope. Stop reading the garbage that comes out of the world. It's nothing but negativism, defeatism, humanism, Satanism, everything, any ism you can think of. That's what it is. You don't get any hope by reading that garbage. Well, I got to go on the internet and see what the news is. And then you sit and watch 6 hours of this garbage, negative news. Everybody's wicked and everybody's losing and all the world's going to blow itself up. Hey, if you're going to blow up, do it. I'm ready to go. Amen. And so I just don't understand why I'm down. I don't understand why I'm... Pick up the words of life. It's in this precious book. It's God's love story to you. Love, charity, never faileth. I have found this throughout the years of being a Christian. There's never a time that I can say that God's love has failed me. I can say where I failed him a lot. I mean, I got a whole 690,000 page book that talks about how many times I failed him. But I find in this precious book that his love never fails. And God's love that he has for us accomplishes what it is God desires to do. You know, the world is crazy nowadays. It's like everybody's looking for love and acceptance, but it's in all the wrong places. It's all in the wrong places. Hey, that drug dealer doesn't care about your life. The drug dealer doesn't care about you at all. When you're dead and gone, because you overdose on drugs, he'll just get somebody else to sell to. He doesn't care about you. Let me tell you something. That liquor store down the street, it doesn't care about you. Oh, it's all right to have a glass of wine all the time. Sure it is. Go right ahead. You drink it. Become an alcoholic. That liquor store doesn't care about you. He's not trying to be a help to you. He's trying to get your money. And he knows if he can get you to become an alcoholic, he can get more money out of you. All this liberal stuff and all kinds of sexual immorality and all this that's going on in our world that we live in, they don't care about your children. Let me tell you right now, they don't care about your children. If they can get your children to be corrupt in their morals and corrupt in their conduct and get them, you know, it's just amazing to me with this all this garbage going on with transgenderism and all this, that, and the other. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, no 9 or 10 year old thinks they're a transgender. And any one of them that does, it's because some adult drilled that in their head. You would do well to get your children to memorize the Word of God. Yes, and realize they are a precious creation by God. Amen. And God has a plan for their life. Amen. I'm telling you right now, folks, we need to plug in this love of Christ, realizing that the love of God is always good and right and just, and it never fails us. Amen. As long as it starts with him.
That's right.
If I start it, I'm going to mess it up.
That's right.
So I'm going to let him start it. Mike Weigel, you're wretched. You're a wicked man. But you know what? I love you. Here's my son. He's going to die for you. And I trust Christ as my Savior. And all of a sudden, the love of God starts flowing through me. And the immediate response in my heart is, wait a minute. If God loves me, then he loves others also. I need to be concerned about somebody else. This is the very first thing that came on my heart when I got saved. My wife will tell you, I sat in my dining room weeping because of the fact all I could see was friends of mine that I grew up with being cast into hell. The love of God that was shed abroad on my heart didn't say, well, go make become a preacher. You might be a big preacher. You might be able to get big salaries and all this, that, and you know. The only thing I thought of was people dying and going to hell. And for 27 years of my life, not one person told me how to be saved. For 27 years of my life, I was on my way to hell. And I finally heard how to be saved. That is what God did in his love towards me. And I'm going to tell you, the first response was, wait a minute, somebody else needs to hear. I think we get this thing all out of whack. Then I felt like God was calling me and I was going off to Bible college. And I had so many people tell me, what are you doing that? Are you crazy? You don't have any job. You don't have any money. How are you going to make a living? Man, you can't do that. You're not going to make it. How many people said we're not going to make it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. My love of my God is stronger than anybody's negative remarks. And I'll tell you what, we've made it. Amen. And we're still making it. Amen, hon. We're making it. That's my partner. That's my sweetie. I'm going to tell you, I've drugged that woman all over this country and around this world. God's love has never failed us. And God's given us victory upon victory upon victory. It's unfailing. It can't fail. I don't know why you would even want to look at anything else. So God gives us victory. Well, it's eternal, I know that. And one day I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be fulfilled completely when I get to heaven. And I see the throne room of God painted abroad across the throne room of heaven. Amen. Of nothing but the love of Christ. And I'll look in the face of my Savior and I'll be like Him. For I'll see Him as He is. And this love that He has for me will be so powerful and so moving in my life that I'll be able to spend eternity embraced by my God in heaven. I don't know why it is we think the world has something else that's better. I don't understand young people saying, well, I'm going to leave the church. I'm not going to be a part of church. I think there's better things out there. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better out there. There's nothing out there can match what we can have in here. Amen. With the love of God. Yes, charity never faileth. Amen. Don't you ever accuse God falsely. His charity, His love never fails. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Have you come into the love of God tonight? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Can you with full assurance say tonight that if I died, I'd go to heaven? Because there was a day when God flooded His love on my heart and He delivered my soul. If you can't say that, we're going to give you an opportunity here in a moment to come and be saved. I want you to know that God's love can save you tonight. People say, well, I don't know about that. You know, there's just some people God can't save. I don't know what kind of God you have, what kind of love your God has, but I'm telling you, the love of my God is sufficient to be able to save the wickedest of sinners. But Christian, maybe you're floundering. Maybe you're struggling in your Christian life. You need to just come here to this altar tonight and just enter in to a bathing experience of the love of God flowing from the throne of God. We oftentimes want to shut things down. We oftentimes want to be so rigid in our concept of worship. And God is just saying, come to me. I just think of that prodigal son when he came. And his father is standing there with open arms to hug his son that was lost. Let me tell you, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you are lacking in tonight, I want you to know that God's love is powerful enough. And it'll never fail you. And you can come and kneel here and talk with God for a while. You don't have to tell Him a lot. He knows what your heart is. But I know this, you need to pour out and say, Lord, come upon me, flood me with your love and your presence that I might have that joy of God once again. Unfailing power of the love of God. Let's pray. My Father, I come to you. I thank you so much, Lord. I never knew what love was. Real love. Until I met Jesus. I'm thankful, oh God, for these many, many years of being able to experience over and over again of refreshing and an outpouring of your grace, your peace, your mercy that is generated because of your love. Lord, may we never forget we're conquerors. We are victors because of your love for us. God, I would pray if there's someone here not saved tonight, the devil would want to tempt them to walk out of here without entering into this love. I pray, Lord, you touch them, convict them, draw them, Lord, to yourself, that they might be saved. I pray, oh God, for every believer tonight, that you refresh us with a love that only you can give. I really believe the love of God still flows. And God, I believe that you can stir us and refresh us tonight. So move upon us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.